Dear service, summer service guests, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us quieten ourselves unto thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been able to gather at the summer services to celebrate the summer festival of God's people. We thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for the beauty of summer and the wonders of nature. Thank you for our independent homeland. Thank you for the goodness that you have shown to our country and our people. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross has atoned for our sins, and by the victorious power of his resurrection has prepared for us a righteousness that is acceptable before you. By your grace, we may, through faith, possess it for our salvation. Preserve all your children in this righteousness and in the fellowship of your kingdom. We pray for your blessing and protection for all the peoples of the world. In the words of an old church prayer, we ask, remove wars, uprisings, and bloodshed, and grant peace and reconciliation to all nations. Thank you that you have blessed the preparations for these summer services and given a spirit of service to those participating in them. We pray that the gospel of your kingdom may reach all people in the world. Lead them to live in fellowship with you as citizens of your kingdom. Grant now to your servants the power of your Spirit to proclaim your word in love and truth. Let your holy word guide those who are without grace into the fellowship of your kingdom. Let the comforting gospel free those bound by sin into the joy and freedom of a child of God. Dear Heavenly Father, comfort and refresh us, your children traveling the road to heaven through the word of the gospel. Give us strength to strive onward until we reach the glory of heaven. Remind us that in the gospel of your kingdom, there is a power that carries the believer safely to eternal life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Honored, invited guests, dear service guests, near and far, beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. On behalf of the Central Association of Finnish Peace Associations, the SRK, I have the joy of warmly welcoming you all to the summer services here in Gauhava. This year, we celebrate the 120-year journey of the summer services. The long tradition of the summer services began with the large services held in Oulu in 1906. During these decades, countless guests have gathered to hear God's word, to be strengthened in faith, and to experience the fellowship of God's children. Today, we too are privileged for our part to continue this God-blessed tradition here in Gauhava. The arrangements for these summer services are the responsibility of SRK, smaller member organizations, Alavieska, Meriärvi, Olainen, Kalajoki, Mehtäkylä, Rautio, Sievi, Sievi-Asemaseudu, Kiiskilä, Kannus, as well as Toholampi and Lestijärvi. Hopefully, I named them all. The preparation work has continued for several years and has included countless hours of volunteer labor. It has required commitment and a spirit of service, as well as understanding and flexibility from family members when members of the family have participated in the common work. Heartfelt thanks to you, dear brothers and sisters, for all this effort. You may trust the words of the apostle. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You may experience this God's blessing in your life. I also wish to express warm thanks to all cooperation partners, authorities, and landowners, and to all of you who, through your own contribution, have made it possible for us to gather here at the Gauhava Airfield. I also thank the congregations of the surrounding area for their good cooperation, and especially for the fact that many nearby churches will hold Sunday worship services during the summer services. Above all, we wish to give thanks and glory to our Heavenly Father, and from our hearts, join in these words of the Apostle Paul. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even think, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Dear service guests, the theme of these summer services is, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Lord, it is good for us to be here. These words lead us to the situation described by the evangelist Matthew, where Jesus and his three disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration. There, the disciples were allowed for a moment to behold Jesus standing before them in radiant glory and speaking with Moses and Elijah. The face of Christ shone like the sun, and his garments gleamed white as light. So the Bible pictures the situation. The sight was so moving that Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." At that very moment, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and they heard a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." When the disciples heard this, they were terrified and fell on their faces to the ground. But Jesus came to them, touched them, and said, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. The experience of the disciples was a reflection of heavenly glory. It was a testimony that the light of God has not disappeared from the world, but continues to shine from the face of Christ. Of this, the Apostle Paul writes, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Dear listeners, the light that shines from the face of Christ still shines in this age. It does not shine where human wisdom and understanding are elevated above the Word of God. It shines in God's congregation, where people faithfully hold to the written Word of God. It shines from God's people, where the written Word of God is faithfully kept. The congregation has been founded by the Lord of life himself. And he has also promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice that the Lord of life himself has built its foundations. And he himself says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In his revelation, John was allowed to behold this congregation. He tells how the holy city, the New Jerusalem, came down out of heaven from God. Furthermore, this Jerusalem was adorned like a bride prepared for her bridegroom. John also heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them." The writer to the Hebrews also opens up the nature of this holy congregation to the Christians of his time. He tells them that they have come to Mount Zion. He is speaking to those Old Testament believers who had received grace of repentance into this New Testament. "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He also emphasizes the holiness of this Jerusalem, that is, the congregation, by stating that they have come also to the angels of heaven, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and finally, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This means that God has one holy, universal congregation, one small, united congregation, existing as the struggling congregation here on earth, and once as the glorified congregation in heaven. This kind of congregation we are able to dwell in. According to the Apostle Paul, this heavenly Jerusalem, that is God's congregation, is the spiritual mother of every child of God. The congregation is every child of God's mother. This mother gives birth to children for God and cares for and nourishes them. According to the teaching of Jesus, this takes place through the word of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. We are familiar with the occasion when Jesus sent his disciples to carry the gospel message forward. He said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Having said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Martin Luther, our teacher in the faith, also experienced the reality of this congregation deeply in his own life. Explaining the third article of the Creed, he wrote that the Holy Spirit gathers in the world a special community, a mother, who through God's word gives birth to Christians and carries them. Notice here, he calls the congregation a mother. He enlightens hearts to receive the word, hold fast to it, and remain in it. This teaching concerning God's congregation is also a central part of the confession of our beloved national church. According to it, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Explaining this article of faith, Luther states that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring the treasure of redemption to us and make it our possession. And as though making his own confession of faith, Luther also says, "I believe that on earth there is a little holy flock and community composed solely of holy people. It has one head, Christ, and the Holy Spirit has called it together. It has one faith, one mind, and one understanding." So Luther explains in his large catechism. Dear brothers and sisters, in this faith we may begin these summer services, trusting in the Lord of the congregation, Jesus Christ. According to his promise, he is present here through his Spirit. He is in the midst of his congregation and encourages us to hold fast to his teaching. Above all, he encourages us in this, that you, my brother and my sister, may safely believe all sins and shortcomings of the journey forgiven in the holy name of Jesus and in his precious atoning blood. Through his Spirit, he also calls every listener to receive this grace of forgiveness as the joy and light of life, and above all, as the salvation of the immortal soul. Therefore, you too, my friend, who ask in your heart, could I also receive the forgiveness of my sins? You may hear in this gospel the words of a gracious God. We do not know who is listening and who may even be online. You, dear friend, may receive the gospel even from this spoken sermon. Hear and accept unto yourself all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. All sins, all errors of the way, all errors of life, all sins, you have permission to believe forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. You may believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. Dear service guests, I thought at the end to read the words of an old song of Zion. Written by Juho Rankinen. And it speaks deeply to me. The song is also in the America's Finland sister organization in America's Song and Hymns of Zion, song number 81. O brother, sister, lift your heart and find your consolation. Your Savior walks the bloody way of pain and desolation. He went to slay our cruel foes, and through his glorious triumph rose the blood-red victory banner. He rose to go to Olivet. Remember this, my brothers, how at the hour appointed flowed his blood and sweat together, that we were with eyes of faith might see as watchers in Gethsemane his bitter pain and sorrow. I will jump to the fourth verse. Beloved sisters, gather, behold the perfect sacrifice, our wounded eldest brother. Our Mother Zion soothes our fears and binds our wounds and wipes our tears. She cares for all her children.